early retirement gets a farewell party in the Army. The Coast Guard is trying to hold on to talented people. And now the Navy wants to empower sailors. All that and more you'll find in this week's edition of the DoD Personnel Notebook. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni joins me with details. Scott, let's talk about the Army first. Nixing early retirement. What are they worried about?
Sure. Well, it's not necessarily that they're worried. They're just trying to get more people to come into the and stay into the Army. And letting people retire earlier just doesn't do that. So this program started in 2012, and it let people that were between 15 and 20 years let them retire early and still get their full retirement benefits. And if you remember back then during the Obama administration, the Army was trying to draw down to, 450,000 troops at the time. And now they're trying to stay the same or go back up in the opposite direction. So early retirement doesn't really have that same appeal as it used to for the Army.
And they don't really know for certain what their end force is supposed to be because Congress can't really resolve the budgetary issues.
That's right. Yeah. So they want to go farther up the pole here and get more active duty troops and build out the Army. But it all depends on getting the funding. You know, we're already a quarter of the way through the fiscal year. And it's all a matter of getting the funding that they need. But the Defense Authorization Act has already authorized that increase. But, like you said, without any money, you can't get an increase anywhere. There's a lot of money that goes into readiness. So it's not only just hiring people, but getting the buildings they need, the training, all that kind of stuff. So it's a much bigger cost than just recruiting people.
And do they have a good budget model for if people stay in longer? What does that do to their long-term liability for retirement costs? I mean, there's a balance there.
Right. Well, right now they have this blended retirement program, which is really going to be helping people in that situation. Instead of getting all their benefits at 20 years, they're going to start getting benefits earlier on if they get out earlier. And that might be more of an incentive to stay in longer or at least give them a fair shake to stay in, for a second enlistment, something like that. So to get to 15 years.
And how are they doing on recruitment on the other end of the spectrum, getting people into the Army in the first place? Because no matter what their end force size is, they have to recruit every year.
Yeah, the Army is says that they've been hitting their recruitment goals and they've been there 100%. I think right now what they want is they're worried more about the quality of people instead of the quantity. One of the things that they're really focusing on right now is changing from just, right, they get a lot of people in the South. That's a big kind of stronghold. They want to go more to the Northeast, more to the West, and get more of a diverse, swath of people. They're worried about making sure that they get cyber people in and all that kind of stuff. But, the military right now, they're kind of worried about this warrior class, right? That there's only certain people that have parents that have been in the military that are joining the military, and they want to make it broader for people, that are college educated and didn't think about going to college or going into the military to pay for college, things like that.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni, and you're also writing about the Coast Guard. That's doing a pretty good job of retaining people.
Right.
What's the secret there?
Yeah, so they're doing an excellent job. In fact, a lot of people leave the Navy and then go into the Coast Guard. So the Coast Guard likes to rib the Navy a lot about that. I talked to Commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Paul Zunkuft, and he told me what he thought some of the leadership reasons for the retainment were.
So it really begins with good leadership. Leaders that really do go to bat for their people. As I mentioned today, your three no's, but knowing your people. And not just knowing, what do they qualify, what's their name. Going the extra mile to say, hey, here's someone who's having some struggles in their relationship at home. They're having some financial difficulty. I think they might have a drinking problem, and I'm going to confront them on it, but not in a punitive way, but I care about you. So I think that sense of being a caring leader, that our leaders truly do look out for their people and not for themselves. And I think as long as you do that, it begins with leadership. And then the missions. Are they relevant? And do you contribute to that mission as well? And I think if you do that with leadership, with relevancy, in the sense that you are empowered to be a part of that mission, people really want to be a part of that, part of something bigger than themselves, but ultimately to play on this team that we call Coast Guard.
And that was the Commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Paul Zunkuft. And what he told me is that they're already implementing some programs that'll help people stay in. He mentioned people maybe with a drinking problem or with friends that are sick or family members that are sick. They want to let people go out of the military and take care of their families, go back to school, all those kind of things, and then come back. And then, you know, he also said that he's open to changes in DOTMA, which is the Defense Officer Management Act that kind of gives that whole promotion board issue. That's it's a very rigid promotion board. You know, he said he's down to change some of those things so that it would be easier for people to maybe get out of the military for a little bit and come back in, give them more flexibility in the 21st century compared to that rigid 80s system that they had before.
All right, let's turn to the Navy, and you're writing about the training of the maintainers, and that is ship maintainers and aircraft maintainers, and I guess submarine maintainers too.
Yeah, I mean, this is mostly for sea vessels. I was at the Surface Navy Association's conference last week, and the technicalities and everything have not been put in one big quantifiable idea, right? So there's no, they don't know exactly how many technical books they have, who's trained in what, and really they want to get an idea as to where maintainers are and what their basically capacity is. So they're trying to make sailors feel more assured about their training and get a bigger idea as to what they can actually do. Now, one of the things that they brought up, the Navy brought up, is that they can't always phone home, right? If they're in an anti-access area denial situation, you can't call home and say, I'm, you know, look, guys, my engine's broken. I don't know what to do. You have to fix it right there. So they want to empower them to make decisions right where they are and figure out how they can, you know, jerry-rig something really to make sure that that ships can work in a contested environment.
Well, do ships leave port and go on missions with people and they're not sure they have the right people on board to fix the engine or fix some sort of a system if they're at sea and out of communication contact?
I think it, right now it's not necessarily something that they don't have the right people there, but that the people maybe don't feel empowered to make the decision that they can without leadership or being able to call home and say, yeah, am I doing the right thing right here? I don't really know. Just want to check in. It's giving them that reassurance that they can do the right thing at the right time.
What are they doing to give themselves that reassurance? Are they installing a system, a tracking system, or what is it?
Right. So part of that goes into training, and the other part goes into just kind of taking a whole account of what kind of materials they have, right? Making sure that the training books are correct, making sure the technicalities are correct, everyone's trained on the right things. So it's more of a long-term kind of goal and doesn't necessarily have these specific sort of programs for it, but something that's a change in culture, right?
Because they do have a lot of complexity, and even though there's a given class of ships, no two of them are 100% identical. So you could be a maintainer on one ship, and then you move to another one. Well, the question is, can you do what you learned on one? Can you do it on another?
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem. There's really no two things that are totally identical.
Right. And you know, the Navy during this, they also talked about how they want to have a common combat system. And that's what they're moving toward as they build more ships into their arsenal here. And this common combat system is putting platforms that are the same on ships so that they don't have to worry about problems like that. Now, that doesn't go to the ship itself, but more to the weapon systems. But still, that general idea.
It's almost the Southwest Airlines approach. The more you standardize, the easier it is to utilize your people the best way.
That's right, exactly.
Federal News Radio, Scott Massioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out his notebook at federalnewsradio.com.